press it. It came from Tijuana, but I had to scratch it. Cartel affiliations, man, they come with side effects. I'm talking pull up to the plug in a private jet. I'm talking numbers so low, it got me cheese. Blowing money like trees, big Nietzsche. I'm dropping good game on your big peaches. I just scrub, track the trailer, free reefer. Side effect, strike first, ground reaper. Desert Eagle 4-5 street sweeper. Like Gucci, really see dead people. I mean, really, man, I see dead people. Body found, don't make it a sequel. Side effect, me and you are not equal. Growing up, I did shit so evil. Yesterday, half a meal for two features. Niggas warring in the streets, we ain't equal. If I get caught, I see no evil. A side effect, I bought a brick and two beepers. How you snitching on the nigga that feed you?
How you gonna snitch?
A side effect, get rich, they turn evil.
Turn evil.
Is that a car? Is that a plane? Oh, that's a creature.
That's a creature. Yeah. Episode 61, A-League Show. Fellas, what's up, man? I missed y'all, man.
We
back. You know what I mean? I missed y'all,
How
man.
Was it? How
you know
was
what I mean? I got on the plane. I was crying. I had one tear.
One tear?
The stewardess was like, yo, sir, would you like a drink? And I was like, no, get out my face.
Wow.
Okay, get out my face, bro. I miss y'all boys, man. A-League Show, man. We back.
Did you Dash fly ready. From LaGuardia or did you fly from JFK?
No, LaGuardia.
LaGuardia?
Which is nice. I went to LaGuardia, which is a little wild.
I have so many horror stories about LaGuardia.
Okay.
I could spend a whole show, a whole 1 hour, talking about horror stories of LaGuardia.
It's small. That's a small airport.
It's small. It's congested.
Yes.
That's why I'm team JFK.
Okay. I mean, JFK is so much further. That's like going towards Jersey, right? Isn't that closer to Jersey?
No, that's in Queens.
That's in Queens?
Yeah, JFK
is in Queens. I thought LaGuardia was closer to Manhattan. Like,
yeah, LaGuardia is closer to Manhattan. JFK is out in Queens. And then you got Newark, which is in Jersey.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, See, I went to LaGuardia because it's closest. But it is small. You know, a little wild in there.
A lot wild.
But it was a great trip, though. I'm happy to be back, yo. Y'all straight? Everybody good? David, yo. Rashad, yo, Jeremy, yo, yeah, you, you wore a UGA sweater because we're going to talk about that signing day later on, but all right, but look,
we just need to talk about UGA. They're going to
win. That is the whole signing day.
And then they're going to go on to the national championship. Go Dogs. Go Dogs.
Wait, when did he become a dog fan? Like, I've been gone that long.
It's a dog-eat-dog world.
It's a dog.
We better get a UGA. I want a UGA Clemson national championship game. If it's Bama, Oklahoma, I'm not watching.
Okay. I'm kind of with you on that, too, though. I don't want to see Bama in the final. I'll be straight up with you. I'm actually silently pulling for UGA.
It's on the beginning.
It's
on the beginning.
It's very silent. It's on the beginning? What does that mean? Yeah.
You about to become a Georgia fan, man. Eventually, you all become Georgia fans. That's
the last time
I've seen the future. No chance.
Look. Let's get into our first topic, fellas. The JBA. All right. The JBA. Y'all excited about this league?
Ball control.
Hey, shout out real quick. Shout out to your boy Lonzo, who's been hooping it up the last six games. Lonzo's been on a run.
24 points, five rebounds, five assists last night against
four
the
for four.
World champions. Four from four.
From
in
three.
The first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
From 3-point line. The boy, hey, the shot's starting to work, man. Shot's starting to fall. Lonzo's starting to do his thing. But Kuzma, come on now.
You can't be disrespectful.
That's still
the best Laker,
Kuzma,
right?
Kuzma balling out, 27 points.
Okay.
14 rebounds last night. The other night he had like 37.
He had 30 on the Rockets, on the head.
Shout out to Kuzma.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Got to show respect.
I'm proud of the Lakers. The Lakers
John
look good.
John Collins. Shout out John Collins. This is the A-League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he got 11 points a game, averaging over 60% from the field.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
He's dunking everything.
You know, shout out John Collins. Mm-hmm. Shout out to everybody getting it done. You know what I'm saying?
Jordan A-League Bell. All the late picks, man. Jordan Bell.
But,
shout out to him.
You know, but back to Eric, man. Hey, dog, if you miss us after a week, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know my last, bro. I don't know, man.
Like Joe Budden, who we going to talk about later?
I was watching the
Joe Budden podcast.
And
at the end, like, Joe Budden talking about 40 minutes of all the bad stuff that happened to him at Complex. At the end of the 40 minutes, Maul said, all right, you done?
He vented like that? I didn't even listen to that.
He's like, I knew you wasn't going to laugh. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. Like,
I missed the A-League, man.
If you miss Atlanta and the A-League after a week, bro, I don't know, man.
It's going to be a long call.
But, but we're going to have Eric calling in. It's going to sound like prison. Don't worry. Back at home, like, you know what I'm saying? This is our first episode. Shout out YouTube. We putting it on YouTube, so we'll see how this works.
Oh, that's what that. Yeah, we got the camera in this thing, man. What's happening?
Oh, that's what it is.
That's, we got the camera in this thing. Okay.
Look out.
All right. So, JBA, what y'all thinking? What's y'all thoughts on this thing? I'm eating a pear right now. I should have waited a couple of days for it because it's not ready.
You
anyway.
Can see it.
Yeah.
Because we're on YouTube.
Okay, yeah. No, but what do y'all think about this league, man? What do y'all think about this league? Is it a good idea? Is it going to work? Is it going to take a while to work? What are y'all thoughts on LeVar Ball taking a risk here? Or is it really a risk? Go ahead.
I think it's really dumb.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You know, I've been a supporter of what they're doing as a family, you know, but.
As you should.
I mean, this is just another excuse, you know, making it. I'm really tired of seeing him make excuses for his kids because he makes excuses for them. And then he says, well, it's not your fault. They should have done this way, or they should have done this way. So now this just gives them another out to run and hide when stuff goes wrong instead of actually dealing with an issue.
You mad about the stealing thing?
I'm mad about all of it. Okay, it's not just a stealing thing. Like, with the Lakers, okay, Lonzo's playing bad, but it's everybody's fault but Lonzo's. LiAngelo, you know, the stealing thing. LaMelo, okay, well, the coach isn't using him right, so let's take him out of school.
Okay, okay. The list.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a list of stuff where, you know, I don't know.
This
man.
Is a
yo, it's
this
weak. Is, it looks really weak, and I don't really want to see this. I don't like kids should go to school, develop their game. And everybody's not good enough to play in the NBA. That's a fact.
No, that's true.
So
that's very true.
Why do we
very
need,
small percentage?
Why do we need a league to put a bunch of average or guys who think they're going to play NBA basketball that probably are just average players anyway to go play in this league? Like, what are they gaining by this?
Well, the thing, okay, but we complain like. Constantly about how like NCAA is like doing these kids wrong.
I got,
and if somebody got a chance, then
Jeremy, stay in your lane.
There you go. You don't mess with the wrong.
Stay
one.
In your lane,
that's his boy.
Boy.
That's his. That's not my boy. That's his boy. Okay.
How many of these kids you know going to class? Let me tell you personal stories. All right. I done grew up with a bunch of hoopers because I used to play. You know, back in the days. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know where most of those kids happen? What happened to most of those kids, excuse me, they didn't have the grades in high school, so they ended up going to a JUCO. In the JUCO, they ended up getting kicked out or they dropped out because they got caught with smoking weed.
Whose fault is that? I don't.
It's the students. That's what I'm saying. The students don't care.
Ben Simmons did not want to go to class because he knew.
The athletes don't
Ben
care.
Ben Simmons was the guy who probably
You know what are the requirements for the one and done guys? They have to take at least, I think it's like 6 college credits in the fall. Mm-hmm. It's something like that. So you could take PE and Dabazada and music and whatever it takes to get the 6 credits. And then you can withdraw from your classes in the spring semester. You don't even have to take it to remain eligible for the rest of the season.
They said John Wall has
so,
4
I
PE
mean,
classes. David, what's up? Like, go ahead.
So it's like, and then when the kids are actually in class, some of them be cheating. So it's like,
oh, hell yeah.
and then the ones that want to finish, a la RJ Hunter, Vince Carter, Marvin Williams, Kevin Durant, them boys, they almost forced them to go back to school in between, you know, NBA seasons. So it's like, the ones that want to get college done, they'll get college done. But don't act like education is important now when it was never important to the kids in the first place.
Okay. That's a fair argument, but everybody ain't John Wall. Everybody's not Kevin Durant. Everybody's not these guys.
But that's what this is for, right?
It's
supposed to be the best players.
I mean, it's
the
not
top recruits.
It's not going to be them. But those guys are going to go to college.
Question
regardless
though.
Regardless of what you
question
say,
though.
They're
hold
going
on,
to college.
On.
Those guys are going to still go to college, play their 1 year, and go pro.
Yes.
That's not going to change just because Big Baller Brand created a league. Nobody wants to play for him. No. I don't think many people like them.
Well, first of all, they got to get sponsored and all that kind of stuff, the funding and all that. They got to figure it out. But this is supposed to be an alternative to going overseas because everybody – that's another thing. We can't just act like everybody can just go overseas. Oh, going overseas is like – that's a complete lifestyle change.
Everybody's not ready for that.
So that's another thing. So it's expensive as hell. So everybody can't just go overseas and be like, all right, I'll come back in a year. Like, it doesn't work that easy over there. So this is another alternative. Other than the D-League, yes, there is the D-League. Everybody's making the jokes that the D-League is here. So this is pretty much kind of the same as that. And they pretty much – LeVar really pays along the same lines as the D-League. It's not too much of a difference. D-League people don't get no cash. That's why most people go overseas. So honestly, for a year, for just a year of your life to avoid being being used by NCAA, by, you can't even get jerseys, and you can't even get the profit from the jerseys they're selling off you, all that kind of stuff. This is just 1 year. You play, you hoop, I don't know what, 30, 40 games maybe they're going to play, travel a little bit. What did he say, like 4 or 5 cities, right?
Yeah.
And then you play, and that's, and you go, and you LA. Scouts at every single game. You're playing against competition that is along the same lines. You're not wasting your time. A lot of these dudes in college be wasting their time playing against people who, come on. Like, come on, like Trae Young is wasting his time right now. Mo Bamba is wasting his time right now.
No, he's not.
They're all wasting their time right now because they're playing with people who can't even. First of all, I watch DeAndre Ayton, and I love it. But I'm like, I look up at the people around him. I'm like, these. I almost did it.
We're talking about a Jersey person already. Yeah. Oh,
no, but I'm talking about they're playing with people who can't even get them the ball and like the correct, who can't even do like a simple, like left-handed, you always say left-handed layup like Bazemore. I'm talking about, but like, that's you, that's him. I'm just saying. But like, they're playing with people who really can't even, they're not even close to their level. And I'm like, yo, these dudes are wasting their time. Colin Sexton, the young bull, but it's wasting his time with some of the people he's playing with. I'm
but
like,
who is he going to be playing with if they play in this league?
They said it's the 80 best high school seniors.
So you mean to tell me that there are 80 players ready to go to the NBA? There ain't but 60 picks in the draft.
Okay. Here's where I'm going to go with you. What happens after 1 year and some of those people don't get drafted? That's the fair point. I know.
They don't have college.
I don't know what happens.
That happens already.
They come
back. Are you guys like?
They come back.
Okay,
no, they
okay. We're talking about the top high school recruits in the nation, right?
Yes.
Half of them work out. Half of them don't.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What do the other half do after college?
They can come back.
They go overseas and play professionally.
I mean, y'all.
And they play ball for as long as they can because they don't know anything else but ball.
Well, that's,
so this
that's
is a
one-shot fault.
Deal, right? For that's what we're thinking. This whole league, JBA, is a one-year deal, pretty much, right? Because if you don't maximize your potential in 1 year, that's when I want to know what happens after that. Yeah. And they're going to help you. I mean, you say overseas, but most of these kids ain't going to just want to go overseas.
Now,
can I go to the D-League? Can I go here? Can I go here?
Colleges say, hey, you guys can come to college afterwards. Cool. Now, if they're able to work that out where, hey, you know, you don't necessarily even get paid. Just come here, play. You don't have to go play for a college. You know, you get stipend money or scholarship money just to put in your bank account just in case. And you're not making actual money. And then if you don't make it in the league, you come back to college. I'll be okay with that.
Okay, yeah.
The thing I'm saying is, it's like, folks is tripping over this. But it's like, what is the percentage of kids that had the J. Cole story? Where they went to college to play, right? They went to college to play, and they was like, man, I don't even want to pay attention to class. I'm just here for basketball.
Yes.
And then since they had the scholarship, they eventually finished all 4 years and got their degree. What are the percentages of that? If student athletes in the nation.
You brought up Marvin and
those people
who came back.
That don't like school. I mean, but those kids, you know, their mamas was like, you're going to get
a
degree.
School.
You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, you're going to finish.
Or they promised their moms they were going to finish with a degree, so they went back and got a degree in between seasons.
Literally,
Jared Jack.
Literally, Georgia's whole basketball team is this. So y'all telling somebody who I've seen this play out. Like, okay, for example, there's a kid named Jawan Parker. I don't think he was really highly recruited, but – you know, he developed his game. He's a starter now. He's been a starter for 2 or 3 years now.
But you're talking about, but do you know if he likes class?
I don't know if he likes class.
Exactly.
I know he's going to have opportunities after he gets done with basketball.
I'm saying is, right? How many of these kids that absolutely, if you hate class and school enough
to
where you grew up, I mean, but there is no suck it up if you don't like it. You just drop out.
I don't
or you're
like
gonna
class.
Get caught with
I hate it.
Something
school,
like
bro.
That, you gonna get kicked out.
There are lots of people that didn't necessarily like class, but it was one of those issues where, you know, they absolutely had to go to class because, like, you know, like you said, you know, they were drilled down, and you know that whole idea of education, that was something that was drilled down in these kids from the time they were in elementary school, telling them to go to school. But then all of a sudden they grow up. And then, you know, they get a ball in their hand, and that's when all of a sudden stuff starts changing. So I see exactly where you're coming from for that.
You're a professional. At the end of the day, once you get a basketball in hand, like you just said, you're a professional. Like, your mindset is professionally thinking. You're thinking that this is where my path is going to take me. That's okay. Like, everybody doesn't have to go to school and finish school. We always say all the time, college ain't for everybody. Don't we always say that?
I mean,
so it's the truth. Like, it goes for everybody.
No.
But now college is apparently
they treat them as professionals.
My bad.
And then that's the thing. They treat them as professionals.
College is now the most important thing in the world. Now all of a sudden that LeVar Ball wants
not.
To do something different.
It's not. My point is LeVar Ball keeps saying, hey, don't use these kids, don't go to a university where you're being used. Well, when you have the mindset that basketball is all you bring to the table, you're already being used by someone else. It's not just
that's
you
what they do, though.
But no, you're gonna get to the league and you're gonna be used by the league also.
Yes.
So what's the point?
You're going to be paid millions.
No, no, no. But here's the thing.
You're going to get paid millions, but the people who are owners are paying billions.
Right.
But you
right.
can't own a franchise as a player, can
we
you?
Know that. That's how the system right, right. is. You're never going to talk.
Well,
I get that.
Well, but you want. But
you go to college, you can
you
only
least,
you can only
want them to get paid. You at least want them to get. Remember, look, I'm going to keep going back to the same story. Remember when Shabazz Napier said at UConn that he didn't have enough money to get food after trips coming back home. I know you disagree with that.
Jabari Parker said the same thing.
Dude was running out of money. Simple stuff like that, I'm just saying. Like, that shouldn't happen, bro. Like, that's what I mean. Like, if they can get paid and they can live comfortably, I don't know. Look, it's like up. He said up to $10,000. That ain't really a lot. But $10,000, what, a yearly, right? We're saying for a year.
I mean,
what,
I agree
monthly
with you.
Or what is it?
I think we should pay college okay. athletes.
Pay them then enough so they don't have to starve at
my
least.
My point is that you
if LeVar can do that, I'm not mad.
LeVar is taking them out of college. LeVar can't provide them an education.
No.
No matter what he says or what he does, he can't get them an education.
Exactly.
But they need one.
But they don't want it.
That's okay. The same thing. This is okay. This we're going back to the one and done deal because the same thing is they should have the choice if a high school kid 17, 18 wants to go jump to NBA, it's his right. Like we talk
it's
about
right,
this is America,
yeah.
it's a free, you got your own let if he fails, like my boy Sebastian Telfair did. But if he goes like that and failed and that's it. That's well. That was his choice. At least he got the opportunity to go do that. You got to let people fail, man. I understand you
no,
want them
I,
to have some, a cushion
I agree
to fall
with
on.
You
want
no,
them to have a cushion,
I agree
but it's
with
like
you.
This is a big sports in general. You're taking a risk, right? Y'all
yeah,
play,
yeah,
and like, y'all understand. Like you're taking a risk no matter
huge.
What. Yeah. So it's like regardless, you got to at least give them that. That's all I care about. I understand the biggest thing about this to me. I'm gonna say it real quick. I'm sorry, David, but
cool.
It's like people are so like we're so you might hit on it. We're so conditioned to think like you have to go like to college. And that's the, like, the easiest path to – yeah, I heard that. It's the easiest path to – no, but, like, we still conditioned to think we got to go to college. It's the easiest path to get to NBA. And I know some kids are going to be like – I saw, what, Shareef O'Neal, Shaq's son, talk about, like, he's definitely going to college. He's not going to LeVar's league. And I'm like, all right, cool.
Uh-huh.
But if you want the college experience, you can't, like, money – like, this league, LeVar's league, is not going to give you that. You're going to miss out on college. So I can understand
yeah.
that as being an argument. But I'm just all for, like, giving them the – this should be their choice. As a hooper who puts all their time, 24 hours into their body and what they do, you have the choice. You want to go to LeVar's league and skip all the NCAA bull that's going on. I'm okay with it. That's my last words.
I agree
we shouldn't be
you.
Conditioned to do this anymore. You ain't got to go to college. You shouldn't have to think you got to go to college. There's other options. That's all I'm saying.
Me personally, I want the leverage on life. I want the degree. And if you're good enough to play, if you're good enough to play in the NBA, you're going to play in the NBA regardless of how long you're in college. So you might get hurt walking down the street on the bus.
Okay.
It's one of those things I feel like with that. With that, I just think that the crux of the debate has a lot to do with are you only going to college for the sake of wanting to play basketball or do you have a plan after you come out of college, you know, and after the NBA? Because we've heard so many stories and we've seen so many stories of athletes that get into the NBA. You know, they get all this money, they get all the fame, they get the big contracts, and then out of a sudden, out of nowhere, they end up, you know, out of nowhere, they end up going broke. And what was one of the reasons as to why they didn't go broke, but why they went broke, is because they didn't have a plan after basketball. So that is one of the things that I do think that is something that has to be addressed.
LeBron James, the biggest business mogul in the NBA, didn't go to college. Jabari Parker, probably one of the smartest dudes in the NBA, dropped out after 1 year, one and done. I mean, I'm just throwing it out. I don't think.
You named two people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right.
We're just talking about the others. That's fine.
I'm saying. I know one player. If we're talking about highly recruited players, a star right now in college basketball, I kind of met his team a couple months ago. He had a team of grown men around him. I asked one of them. I was like, "Hey, when'd you meet this dude?" They said 2 years ago.
Yeesh.
A grown man,
yep.
An 18-year-old high school senior, that's kind of weird.
Fishy.
So then I was like, oh, so you're like his manager. You know, I'm just like asking just like regular. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, no, because that's against NCAA violations and it's up as up. I'm just his friend.
So you ain't getting
me. I was like, all right. He's like, but I came up with the dude's nickname. I came up with so-and-so. Before I met him, he wasn't top 100. He wasn't so-and-so. He wasn't five stars or any
that's
of that.
That's an agent right there.
And then so I was like, okay. And then, like, afterwards, you see his Instagram is ran by, you know, it says operated fan account, but it has a verified check next to it. Why is a fan account verified? And then the name is the nickname, and this dude's all on YouTube. He had a YouTube show his senior year of high school. He and now they are selling merchandise. with his, you know, nickname.
He's 18.
And he's eight, he's a college freshman. He's one of the biggest stars in college basketball.
It's
pretty obvious who I'm talking about, but I'm not going to mention any names.
I like this, though.
He's definitely a guy because the NCAA already investigated his family, and his family got in trouble, so he was suspended at the beginning of the year. I gave it away with that. But I'm not going to say his name. So this dude got in trouble already by the NCAA. He's definitely a guy that would go to JBA.
Yeah, okay. He would, could.
Just to give him an extension, extensive example.
There you go. Okay.
Yeah, I just think, sports is a business first, and it would not surprise me if the NBA goes back to their gets rid of the one and done rule. It's just, there's too much money that's, even though, they don't consider, I don't think they consider LeVar a threat, but the idea that he is something that exists, they probably peel the rule back. The G League isn't going to be enough. I think they'll probably pull it back, and then LeVar's just going to be in a pickle because I don't know what he's going to do. Once guys come straight out of high school again, and he's trying to get these guys that don't want to go to college, I don't know what he's going to do. I think thing might fold.
I think that's the point of it. It's going to force them to fix a problem.
Happened to have a kid that wants to go to the NBA.
Okay, all right. College ball, all right, Lonzo Ball. Because everybody's saying
the pressure on him.
Because everybody's saying that is, it's LeVar. He ain't getting his way, so he just whining and stuff. Lonzo Ball, as a freshman, before LeVar Ball was the celebrity he is today, was openly against what the NCAA was doing to him. He was like, they're selling my likeness on these commercials and my jersey, and I can't even sign an autograph for money. And, Lonzo Ball was against it from the beginning. And it's not just, the black kids in college basketball. It's also, Josh Rosen, who has a father that, was in business. He's been openly against the NCAA for his last 3 years or however long he's been at UCLA. So, you just have to look at it like that. Oh, to your point.
No, if the JBA succeeds, that would be if the NCAA changes its rules, then I think the JBA did its purpose. Even if it folds in a couple years,
that's what I was trying to say.
I'm with you.
So it's either the NBA is going to change this rule to let high school kids back in, or the NCAA is going to finally play players.
Yeah.
So
if that's the purpose, I'm fine with it.
And that means LeVar Ball's league was successful.
Yes.
He just exposed the problem.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with y'all on that. Right. I feel honestly, I've never had an issue with the high school rule. I just had
the
an issue.
The one and done?
Yeah, not the one. I don't like the one and done. I think the one and done ruins college basketball. College basketball was so much better without the one and done.
It's supposed to help college basketball.
It did the opposite. Because now the game is not as pretty as it used to be. You know what I mean?
Well, players are being careful when they're in college now.
Right.
They're still playing hard, but they're just being like,
And they don't come to college and try to get to know the system. They come to college where I got to be here. So I don't like that part of college basketball. There are maybe 7 or 8 guys that have no business in college. Colin Sexton, Marvin Bagley, DeAndre Ayton, Muhammad Bamba, those guys did not need college. I agree.
They're NBA players.
What you said
today.
Earlier, they're wasting their time, but they also needed to improve because they would just be on benches right
you
now.
You need the workouts, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, you need that college. And
college
coaching is obviously it's needed, it's helpful. I get that. I'm just saying those guys are above.
College coaching is overrated. That's what
it's a college coach game. It's not about the players in college. It's about the coaches.
A guy like Saxon though has Avery Johnson as his coach. I think that's
that's valuable. But he could
Avery deserves to be an NBA.
He could easily be a mentor or something. You know what I mean? There's ways. I think college basketball coaches are overrated. Even other than Mike Coach K. That's the only coach that's Tom Izzo's overrated.
What? Coach K because Coach K coached
bus,
the Olympics.
All them busts that Coach K don't coach. Y'all talking about he the only valuable one?
Coach
all
K bus, was the Olympic coach.
I mean, it ain't about the bus. I'm talking about
Leitner. Who the bus? Sheldon Williams.
He's a genius as far as running defenses and offenses.
You know who else he also coached? He coached LeBron James in the Olympics.
Right.
Okay.
He did that.
4 years after LeBron James was LeBron James.
He did that though. He can always brag about that. I coach LeBron James.
Two Olympic gold medals.
Yes. Hey, can you talk about it? Look, I'm just saying, coaches. No, look, I get it. You're trying to say they're overrated. College coaching is overrated.
College. Right? Okay, I'll say it again.
Because you're saying because they don't let the players just play. Yeah. The college game can
they
be gotta ugly.
Have their hands on yeah. everything. College it's annoying.
College game is ugly. Because, like, well, we're going to bring it back to the other point, which was players don't really, they go there and they're like, well, I really can't play my game regardless.
Nolan
like,
Smith.
They know they can't.
Seth Curry, Austin what? Rivers.
Oh, my God.
The Plumlees, all of them.
Jay Will.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a motorcycle. A motorcycle accident. You can't,
my,
you know.
That was my favorite college hey. Point guard. Shout out to Jay Will, man.
RIP to Jason Williams' career,
yes.
man.
Yes. But it got real. No, but look, Coach K is a great coach. I don't know. You tripping on that. We're going to talk about that another time because you think Coach K is overrated.
No, I said Coach K, other than Coach K.
Oh, other than Coach K.
Everyone
oh,
else
no, he,
Coach K. I was saying.
You said Coach K.
I was like, oh, no. I said.
Run the tape.
You can't say that he's valuable because he's coached all of these busts.
Oh, okay. But that's
everybody's coach bus.
Yeah, that's
look, okay. That's, but how many busts does Duke have?
Because they have so much talent, people get drafted highly.
I just think it's one of those things where the idea of the college coach being so revered, I just think it's going out the window. It's going out the window in the NBA. Yeah. It's going out the window in the NFL. It's going out the window throughout sports, I believe, because I feel like exactly. People understand now that you need players in order to win these championships. The mystique that was built in Syracuse around Boeheim, the mystique that was built around UConn, around Jim Calhoun. That's going out the window slowly but surely. The mystique that was built around Michigan State, around Tom
Izzo. I hate that. But I could even take it another level and say Phil Jackson in the NBA.
Whoa, hold up.
Phil Jackson had Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and he's coached Carmelo Anthony. He's coached three of the best scorers in NBA history. But he's the greatest coach ever. No, Pat Riley is the greatest coach ever.
What about Pop? I think
Bill Belichick is the greatest coach ever because yeah. I think Tom Brady's a system quarterback. I want to get that.
I think having Bill Belichick has helped him a lot.
You slick have a point shot because remember who was it? Matt Castle won 11 games
exactly.
1 year with New England.
Matt Castle made the playoffs.
Jimmy Garoppolo went 2-0.
Jimmy Garoppolo won a couple games.
Okay, yeah, we can't use 2 games.
What was his name? The black boy that played for the Colts. Jacoby Brissett won a couple games for them Jokers.
That's a fine name.
You know what I'm saying? And then he go to Indianapolis. He don't win one game.
Okay.
I think they won one in overtime. But you know what I'm saying? So, hey, man.
Yeah, no, okay.
Expose. No. I think Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time.
You said Tom Brady couldn't do this anywhere else. Sport. You think Tom Brady couldn't do what he's doing?
I think Tom Brady, like you have to see like his skill, like you know the type of passes that Tom Brady makes when he squeezes this into these like tight little holes. Pause.
Right.
Like yeah, you know you gotta and usually I'm anti pause, but you know hey man.
That was just like come yeah, on, that was dog. Like put on a platter.
I even did this. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So. Like, I mean,
if we all signed to the Patriots as wide receivers, we'd all be pro wide receivers. And some of us are pretty good wide receivers already.
But Brady, he would probably be like a Pro Bowl quarterback. He'd probably
be Matt
like,
Ryan.
Yeah.
Damn. He'd be Matt Ryan without Bill.
You just said he'd be Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Like Andy Dalton?
Matt Ryan's better than Andy.
He'd be like an above average quarterback. He wouldn't be the greatest quarterback of all time people.
I can agree with that.
I think that's Aaron Rodgers. But that's so sweet.
Aaron Rodgers is probably the most talented quarterback ever.
By far.
Him and
Packer
John
Homer.
Wow.
By far, Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback than Tom Brady. But whatever. Yeah, you're right, Belichick. Where the hell were we going before that?
The point was that
what the hell are we talking about?
The
now?
Point
what
was
the Sam just
something about high school okay. and college basketball and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? But yeah, man. Back to our original
it's
point.
Two okay. days before the holidays, we're all over the place.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, come on, go ahead, finish up. What were you trying to say, Jared?
I was trying to say I'm not. I don't really care so much about those top guys. Like every year, there's five or six guys that don't really need college.
Okay.
But then there's also 3,000 other players that play in college basketball. That actually need the education,
of course, yeah.
even if
yes.
they necessarily might not want it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, okay, in later life, those guys you say they don't like it when they're working, you know, somewhere they don't want to be working. They regret it. I mean, I bet you some of these old players will look back and say, "Man, I know. I wish I would have went back and you know, I would have finished my degree and blah blah blah," because they went through their money. Because these young kids are not old enough to deal with having a lot of money.
Nope.
So, there's a lot of stories like LeBron. There's a lot of stories like Jabari. Cool.
There's way more stories.
But there's almost a bunch of there is also a bunch of Sebastian Telfairs. What's the kid's name with the Memphis?
Sebastian was my dude.
What's the kid that went to Darius?
What?
That was one guy.
Darius Washington?
Darius Miles?
Darius Miles. Ooh. There's a bunch of stories like that. Yeah,
that was a crazy story.
I'm just saying.
It happens. You know what I mean? It happens. Okay.
And one of those things is we mentioned earlier that college kind of exposes you to is that it exposes you to being able to handle all that travel, because it's one of those issues where perhaps you may not necessarily be able to handle that, because traveling cross country from North Carolina all the way to Oregon is different from, say, traveling in the state from, say, you know, from, say, Athens to Jonesboro.
Yeah. No, you say it's a lot to adjust to. I understand. I'm with the JBA, though. I'm with it. I'm all in.
DJ Academics versus, because I can't wait to get to this one.
I thought you were going to early signing day.
You want to do it early? Okay, Academics real quick. Can we do that?
You want the beef.
Okay, DJ Academics, the hermit, all right, versus Desus, the god, all right, the Bronx god. Look. Because I don't even know where to start, because I was going back and forth with a lot of my boys.
I'll start for you. I'll start for you.
Because there's so much here.
You have to respect a man that works for himself when you're answering to somebody else. You work for a corporation.
Okay.
DJ Academics works for DJ Academics.
Oh, wow.
I don't care. Are you paid by Academics?
Okay. That's a young dude.
He owns his own thing.
He does.
And he's making probably as much as y'all are making.
Hey, what? As compared to Desus and Merrill.
Right.
I think he's a DJ.
He's probably making just as much. Oh, he don't DJ no more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why? Okay. DJ Envy, that's like a DJ. These new DJs are a little bit different, but I get it. I mean, I've seen some clips of, like, Academics DJing parties, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he used to DJ in college, so his name was DJ Academics. And then he started from his student, you know, radio network or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's when he started the little rumor report. They kicked him off, and he started doing it on YouTube.
Okay.
That's how he became famous.
Well, here's my thing. All that crying he was doing the other day, did you see the crying, tears?
I saw.
Here's my thing. If you're going to be a hip-hop culture, like, critique, and you're going to be talking on this and that, and then dudes come at you, it's just part of the game. I don't understand all these people, like, all these people being sorry, feeling sorry for Academics, and they're like, oh, come on, leave him alone. He's so he's not about beef. He's just, like, in his own lane. He always promoting, like, well, all the young dudes that's coming in. He's just, like, he doesn't.
All the littles.
Yeah, all the littles and all that, yeah. Like, he's just, like, that's DJ Academics. I understand that. But, like, my man, if you're, like, with Charlamagne, I think he's along the same lines. Is he not wanting to be a Charlamagne?
Yeah, of course. Everybody wants to be Charlamagne.
Everybody wants to be Charlamagne. So if you're going to be Charlamagne is always in beef with rappers, with other people who are doing the same thing.
With other radio people?
Shout out Black Privilege. I got to read that book.
Oh, yeah. I've heard mixed.
I don't see it in Target. Yeah. Like, every time I, what's up, Target? Every time I go to the book section, I don't see the book. That and Tiffany Haddish's memoir.
Shout out to her, man. She's having a year.
So support Black businesses.
Yes.
Yes.
And read Black books.
Yes.
But don't support DJ Academics. Look, I'm just, no. I don't know if you saw the beef. Now I'm listening. But these dudes are beefing right now.
Do it look like a bad boot?
Okay, yeah.
Do it look like a bad boot?
What?
Huh?
I'm sweating in this thing.
Do it look like a bad boot?
Man, I'm going to get to that a little bit later on.
Okay, look. I don't know. I don't know whose side you're choosing.
Right.
When it comes to Desus.
I'm choosing Academics.
Why is that?
Because he's his own boss.
And Desus and Merrill are working for Viceland.
Yes.
Who they turned down a deal with Complex, though.
They did that 4 years ago.
Because they Complex messed up. You remember the show?
I saw the back-to-back. I saw
No, but you saw. You do watch them when they're on Complex?
Nah,
funny as hell.
Give me a little bit of the backstory. I want to know what's going on.
No, it's just like beefing between. You got Desus and Merrill from Bronx versus DJ Academics. And they're both like in the same realm of like they discuss cultural things. They talk about hip-hop. They talk about blah, blah, blah. And the beef started because Academics and Vic Mensa said he didn't like the way Academics was talking about Chicago, the violence in Chicago. Vic Mensa's also, he's from Chicago. So he called him out on it. Then Vic Mensa went on Desus and Merrill's show, and they asked him on the show, Desus asked him, why are you beefing with DJ Academics? And he said, F Academics, blah, blah, blah. That was the whole thing. They were laughing about it. Academics still, like, held that on. He was like, why are y'all talking about me? I'm not on your show. Like, what's the problem here? So then that goes into Desus and Merrill taking little shots at him. Academics came back. Had some like Twitch thing the other day and took a shot at them. That's when it started again. It came back again the other day when Academics got on Twitch and was like talking about these dudes are talking about me and they don't even, blah, 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 like they be hating on me, blah, 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 and he was talking about them. Then Desus and Merrill responded and they roasted him because that's what they do. If you're gonna go with Desus and Merrill against them, you're gonna get roasted. Like that's what they're all about jokes. So it's easy to really see here. There's a difference between DJ Samero, their climb to the their rise to fame was totally different from Academics. That's what Neil Reed's thing. Okay, because Academics was a DJ, right? Like you said. And he had a page where he promotes all the social media stuff. DJ Samero are different. They're like two dudes came from the Bronx with like no money and just are funny as hell. So like in like looking at that, who do you think is going, like, people are going to choose mostly? Like, who do you think, the guys who came from nothing?
Yeah.
And okay, so it's totally different things of like, what respect do you get? DJ Samero don't respect him because they feel like he got his claim to fame and he's like,
and why were they talking about from? Him? He wasn't saying anything to them.
Well, there you go. Okay, so that's your point. That's fine. So he's agreeing with you. He's agreeing with you. That's agreeing with you. Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna take shots at somebody if I don't.
But Vic Mensa,
if they're not even relevant to me, why am I even, like, that'd be like us talking about another podcast that we don't even know about because they weren't journalists, they were athletes instead.
We don't do that. But no.
That's what I'm saying. That's the same thing.
No, but look, the thing is, Vic Mensa was the reason why all this started. Your boy DJ Academics, because of Chicago stuff. DJ Academics has not addressed Vic Mensa at all because he's not going to. But he needs to understand, like, if you're now talking about, he's now in this whole, like, battlefield.
He did.
What did he say about Vic Mensa?
On the show.
He apologized.
On the show.
He apologized to him. And Vic was still not happy. You remember the show?
He wasn't.
Okay, because what Academics said was real dangerous, though, right?
But
talking about Chicago.
But didn't he say, like, He was like, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I got to check myself, you know, I just be talking trash, I go on YouTube, I talk trash.
You can't,
You know, like I'm sorry, like, you know, I ain't grow up in the hood, so I don't really know. And then that's all Vic was saying. He was like, you ain't grow up in the hood, you some internet dude making fun of serious situations where young kids are dying in Chicago.
Serious, right?
And he said, my bad, I ain't know, you know, I just,
but,
you know,
but,
I don't be thinking when I just
But that's the thing,
videos.
You just said, what did you just say? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know how you don't know.
Look,
now.
But
that's
here's the thing. You just said the word.
Rashad
said the word internet dude. That's another reason why a lot of people don't respect DJ Academics, because they just see him as an internet guy who just got in an age where people get popping like this. He's not getting that respect as anybody. Like, he's not going to get it. Like, a lot of people clown on DJ Academics, right? I know people, you feel sorry for him. I'm like, no. Like you said, he's a hustler. Shout out to him. He does his thing. But when you come and step into this battlefield, it's totally different, bro. Like, you're a critic now.
I mean, he got,
so everybody's gonna, they were gonna critique you.
He
now
got the right to express his opinion without, I mean, I don't know.
He looks like, I
could understand where the other guy's coming from as far as like, okay, well, you can't really speak on this because you haven't been here. But he
those
got
are two dudes from the Bronx too. Remember that. These are Merrill, two dudes from the Bronx.
Okay.
Who are definitely siding with Vic probably on this. When they see a guy like DJ Academics, they're like, all right, what the hell is this kid? He be on Twitch looking like he's in his mom's basement. That's what they always say.
I mean,
I can see
their point.
He looks like a guy's like, come on, man.
I can see their point, but they came at him first for no reason.
They did.
So,
they did come at him.
I mean, he got the right to say what he want to say, and then he got the right to respond however he want to respond to what they
say. He got the right to cry. I don't know if you saw it. He started crying on Twitch.
I don't know about all that. But
yeah, that's going a little bit too far with that.
He lost a little bit edge there when he started crying.
So basically, they called him soft, and then
he cried.
He said,
I don't know what he's doing.
I have no further comment.
See? Boom! Okay. All right. So
$12,000 a month. What more
do you want from me? All right, that's what he did. Oh, like,
man,
that's what DJ Academics
going
did.
Going all in and getting all sentimental with it.
I just don't understand everybody feeling sorry for DJ Academics right now. That's my biggest thing. I'm seeing people like, yo, DJ Samero are whack for that. They whack for that. Like, leave him alone. Like, it's easy to pick on him. I'm like, bro, he's part of this whole thing now. Like, he is.
He
like,
wanted to be part of it.
He got on the show with Joe Budden. When they talk about everybody's career, Wale had a beef with him. All these rappers had a beef with DJ Academics. He has to get used to that. Now he's getting upset because two guys who are pretty much doing the same job you do are talking. That makes no sense. Like, this is part of it.
Yeah, this is part of it. You
this
can't
is part of it. That's
you
what
can't
I'm
be
rappers.
A critic
part of it, man.
And don't think you're not going to get anything back.
Yes. You want smoke? Do you want smoke? What's this? Okay. I'm hot. Hey, y'all, go ahead.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing about it. Like, you know, and especially, you know, woo! that's just part of the way the game works. Like,
yes.
You know, like I was saying, that's just part of the way the game works.
Podcast. Like you said, we're gonna beef with another podcast. And actually, I would want to beef with another podcast. I kind of want.
I'm beefing with the Joe Budden podcast. No, Joe, we didn't say that.
I want to beef with another podcast. I kind of do though. I want
Ice Trader Gang. Hey. Ice Trader Gang. Hey.
I want to be for another podcast.
Speaking of which, I was just about to get
the Atlanta podcast. What's up with y'all? Y'all seen that podcast? The Atlanta podcast. What's happening?
Because
y'all
want to
smoke. What's good?
I saw something on Twitter the other day.
Is it really in Atlanta?
Look at this.
It's called the Atlanta podcast.
Look at this. This was on Siri the other day on Twitter.
Atlanta podcast, boys. A League over here. We run the city. We run the town. What's good with it? Pull up.
I bet y'all won't hoop.
Oh man.
Look. All right. So it looks like Jeremy is on DJ Academic side. Rashad, you're obviously on Academic side.
I agree with both of them, honestly. Like, okay. I mean, I at first I was on Academic side because they started with him. Cool.
Because he looks so innocent, right?
Yeah,
he
right.
looks like, oh, come on.
But as far as like him talking about what's going on,
he getting bullied like Keaton.
He don't know, or he don't show. What's really going on in the hood?
Yeah, there
so,
you go.
Don't I mean,
be ICI.
Okay, you ain't even tried it yet, Creel.
Mm. I'm just saying.
That's
all I want to say on DJ Academics.
Yeah,
let him get flamed.
Him,
eternity.
Him and Button definitely need to relink.
That's
because it's
though.
Like
that's
you know
crazy. That's
he's talking about you know I hold my weight too you know I'm DJ Academics people still gonna watch me look at them dislikes from the last
few
times. Yeah, that tells the whole story. So it's
you
like,
said that last night, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
125,000.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. Damn. Yeah, it's crazy. But the thing is, it's like first take. You know, that works where one of them leaves. It still works because both of them are like you know. High intense yellers, screamers.
Right.
On Everyday Struggle, there's a balance where DJ Academics is kind of like
true. Fire and ice.
More calm. Yeah. And Button is like, ah. So when you get rid of the ah, then it's like.
It's like, what are we here for? What are we doing here?
Who's exactly. another mad old rapper? I guess Pete Rock, as a producer, he might be good on the show, but Pete Rock's a little too old. Like, Joe Budden.
Joe was right at good
yeah,
age.
Yeah. Joe Budden can still understand new people.
Exactly.
Like, he's 2002. Pete Rock is like,
the 80s.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to hear from all that. So no, but okay. The show's done. It's dead. And DJ Samero are gonna keep climbing. That's I mean Bodega Boys.
So like I was saying, Button and Academics need to relink.
They need that. Know? He needs you think more for that. See, DJ Academics needs that more than Joe does.
When
he needs that way more.
Well, Joe don't need it because he's getting
it.
A lot of attention
Joe,
anyway
he's
because
Joe,
he's beefing with Migos.
It. Joe could use it.
He could use
I mean Joe like Joe said, like 2017. You could argue 2017 the biggest year of Joe Budden's career
since 2002
because he
yeah Love and Hip Hop years don't that ain't
he beefed
yeah that's
Drake.
A wash
no. He beefed with Drake
yep
and that still didn't get that much attention you know Drake gave him a whole verse on like one of the more popular songs of the year
he lost
and
that.
he lost
in that because of his lyrics because of the because of who
which is crazy
yeah I know
Joe Budden dropped three
and
diss
nobody
songs.
Cared
hard nothing but bars
yes.
It's like 5 minutes each so like 15 minutes of nonstop bars and everybody's like oh dang Drake got him because Drake said pump it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe Budden will lose any beef he gets into nowadays.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to beef with somebody like Drake or someone like Migos, you will automatically lose.
No. Academics told him he won. Academics was like, bro, you already – this is like, oh, this is last few shows before Complex kicked him off.
He lost both
of
them
beefs. But Academics was like – bro, you already won by just doing nothing and just joking on him. If
Please.
You rap back,
well, Migos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's like, if you rap back, it's gonna look corny and you're gonna lose. And then Joe Budden was like, wow. So to win rap beef nowadays, that's crazy.
You know, you really gotta say nothing.
It really had to do something because you know Nadeska, like, come on, no. Like, I mean, I respect Nadeska as a journalist. Her journalistic background,
she
went to school for
nothing.
She went to MTV Complex for years. She grinded it out, interviewed, got it out the mud. Salute to Nadeska, but to the show,
it's hard to watch, right?
So
it's hard
like,
to watch. Okay,
you know,
so
and then she's still tied down to Complex, so she can't leave and join that little thing. So just find a new woman, and I didn't mean to say it like that.
No,
but
we know what you mean. New host.
You find a new host who's a woman.
Who's a woman?
You know, for balance. And then, you know, you do your own thing.
I don't know who else in hip-hop, like you said, could take over Joe's spot. But it
– Jim Jones would be great.
Jim is a – Jim, see, yeah. No, I was thinking Cam'ron.
Oh, Cam, yeah.
Cam'ron.
Cam is funny. Cam
Killer,
is funny.
Killer can be in that spot.
Cam
you need somebody
funny.
That brings – that also
but
knows.
Jim Jones is like that, too, because remember he did the weather report during the Hurricane Irma. So Jim Jones is funny, too.
Yeah.
Two Chainz is a funny dude.
Like
once Two Chainz' music career is over, like, he should do that, but – Two Chainz a little reserved too. He really reserves.
He might get Academics says some stuff that might get you hyped. Joe was obviously
And, but
it worked. It worked.
You know, when you're old, you know, you change. So, like, maybe as 2 Chainz gets even older, like, he'll change into the more family-friendly.
That dude knows how to. 2 Chainz knows how to, like, evolve every single year.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
That dude's like, oh, but you don't even think.
People forget 2 Chainz been in the game for a pretty good bit of time.
Yeah, man, Dungeon Family. That's crazy, man.
Does anybody want to see Terrence Howard as DJ from Hustle and Flow? Him try it for a couple episodes?
Yeah, I would
pay to see that.
See Terrence Howard start getting emotional?
I ain't the desk of mine.
Hey, on my mind.
Hey, man, you can't be on here talking crazy, man.
Terrence Howard always crying to all his shows, all his movies, bro. Like, I hope he's okay. Like, people need to check on him. Like, just call him once in a while.
He going to cry. He cry every time he talk. Hey,
man. I swear to God, gang, man. Hey, man.
Yeah. I love Terrence, man.
That's the next topic, man.
I love Terrence, man.
I think Drake would do one of these shows after his career.
Drake?
Yeah, but Everyday Struggle really started it. Salute to Everyday Struggle. Y'all trash for getting rid of Joe, but I mean.
They didn't want
to
pay him.
Like, y'all started this.
Yeah.
All right. It's just crazy because they were like on Academic Stream or like Joe Budden's podcast, he was saying how they were telling him how the other shows were more profitable. Like, Out of Bounds was more profitable.
Oh,
like,
hell.
How is Out of Bounds more
profitable? Out of Bounds is an awful show. Yes.
That's the worst show that I've ever seen in my life.
And I love Gilbert Arenas, but he's not working on camera.
I watched one episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody else watched Out of Bounds? Terrible show.
I couldn't take it serious after I saw who was on it.
Okay.
Oh, no, yeah. Right.
I'm good.
We know who you're talking about. And I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay? I know who you're talking about. Yeah. That's okay. Everybody gets it. Look. They're just throwing people on camera now. You know, that's everybody's getting thrown on for personality. I get it. But actually, like, legit, like, Joe actually deserved to be on camera. Yeah, so somebody needs to get him back on camera. That's all I would definitely.
He was a lot better than I expected him to be, honestly. Like, he really. And then a lot of stuff he was saying, like, he was just being honest. Like, I mean, I can't knock for somebody from being honest and having wisdom, you know?
The fact that Mia Khalifa is getting put on camera, that right there tells me everything I need to know about who they're going to give shows
nowadays. They thought we were going to watch because of her. They really.
They probably did. They probably did.
I'm not, but
I watched the first episode because I wanted to see how it was going to work and all that, but it was so bad, like, there wasn't even potential in it. Because she didn't know sports. The host barely knew sports.
Yes.
So I'm like, how the host barely going? You're not even famous, dude. If anyone going to know sports, it's going to be the host because you're not famous.
Exactly.
And then Gilbert Arenas made a joke about baseball and black people with the first show. I'm like, okay, that's all right. But like,
Gil's good on Instagram. He's not good on camera. I like Gil. So, yeah.
I mean, but that show is trash, bro. But dang, I forgot what I was about to
say. It's all good. It don't matter.
What were we talking about?
We were talking about about Joe Budden and all them. Yeah, but I was saying, in the end, Academics, this is not a good beef for you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Just chill. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Just chill. All right?
It's a bad matchup.
It's a bad matchup.
But you should take it. You should. It's a bad matchup.
Look.
I'm just going to say that.
What we got? Early signing day.
Woohoo!
Okay. First of all, why the hell is it earlier now than it used to be? Can y'all explain about David and Jeremy? And y'all know this stuff.
Basically, it allows players to get on campus earlier. But that's all. That's the only thing.
When can they get on campus?
They can go to school in January now.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure. Okay. All right.
Mess these kids' egos up. It's already something in February. You got the TV show for them. Then you got
TV show.
Yeah, you got a TV show like to show like all the these kids on here talk about their commitments and stuff. And then now they're doing this in December, and it's just crazy because it's just like I remember just like playing high school and stuff. There's always someone better than you and stuff. And then you a 5-star at your school, 4-star. But you're joining a team with four and five of the stars, and it's just like I just don't like it. Like I think like basketball signing day, you don't see all that like.
And 5-stars matter more in basketball to me.
Yeah, like baseball. Really? Like you see these signings and stuff in the winter and stuff with these other sports. They don't make no big deal like that. But you would think it was February the way they was acting.
I mean,
basketball signing day is totally different.
It's quiet, and then it matters more. If you think about it, the last 10 years, maybe 9 or 10 of those guys are in the NBA right now. Last 10 college football signing days, number one prospect, maybe 3 are in the NFL right now. Maybe 3. It might not even be that.
That's why it doesn't. So you don't. It don't matter. Like
it really doesn't matter at all.
You're like, okay, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I watched the bowl game yesterday. Josh Allen had 0 stars, and he may be the best prospect for quarterback in this year's draft.
Say the name again.
Josh Allen from Wyoming.
Okay.
Had 0 stars, was not recruited at all. Okay. He had to beg somebody for a spot. Best pro prospect in the draft this year.
Wow. I just saw he declared. I saw that. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, so that's what, okay, so the star thing got a little bit overdone. I remember when I used to follow signing day, like, close, like, way back. I used to do, and then I just, like, stopped caring. But that was it. I used to get big on the signing day. Like, I remember Ryan Perilou when he came to LSU. That was, like, the biggest deal. Came, you know, like, nothing. So then after that, I was like, all right, these star things don't really matter. Because we had Tyrann Mathieu who came. Tyrann Mathieu was, like, a 2-3 star. And yeah. We ended up being our best defensive guy, bro. Like,
Steph Curry was a 2-star.
There he goes.
Top recruits in 2012, Mario Edwards, Dorial Green-Beckham, Landon Collins.
Yeah. Okay,
we know that name.
Yeah, that was a
Eric,
fun. That was
Armstead,
funny.
DJ Humphries, Shaq Thompson.
DJ Humphries.
Excuse me. Stephon Diggs was 10.
Okay.
TJ Yeldon was 13. That's pretty much it.
Damn.
Oh, Jonathan Gray. Jonathan Gray was 9. I mean, that's pretty much it.
It's a running back, right?
Yeah. Damn. So to your point, it doesn't like most of this means absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and then just like recruiting and stuff. Like I think about it for the coaches, like you got guys like Jeremy Pruitt and Jimbo Fisher. They just start their jobs and like they're making this like the way they're hyping this stuff up and stuff. It's like you know you ain't got you know if you ain't get nobody now, you screwed.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw somebody asking to fire Jeremy Pruitt because he didn't get Cade Mays. I was like, hold on. So what is a high school kid's decision to go to college have to do with Jeremy Pruitt coaching Tennessee football next year?
Doing too
so
much.
So coaches are getting critiqued on even their recruiting, like to that, like their job's on the line for recruiting. Like
yeah. That's how crazy it is
Kirby,
nowadays.
Kirby Smart, I like Kirby Smart and I love what he's doing at Georgia, but I feel like he's already gotten a golden ticket because he did great in recruiting.
Yeah.
Okay, if he goes and they get blown out in the Rose Bowl,
what's that
I'm
mean?
Not happy.
Yeah, what's that mean? You're talking about as a recruit, you're not happy.
As a fan, I'm not happy.
Okay, okay.
As a booster, I'm not happy. And if I fire Mark Richt, something better happen more than the SEC championship because that's what we had already. We already won 2-0.
So this game right here, you're saying coming up is like
this is gonna tell me more about
it's
Kirby.
His second year.
I know it's only his second year, but that's what I'm saying. They're already saying well, he'll be here the next 25 years.
Okay, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to win.
Calm down. You got to win something more than the SEC.
He wins this game and loses the national championship. Y'all cool with that, right?
We cool with that for this year. Okay. But next year. But I'm letting you know right now. We brought Kirby Smart in to win championship. National championship.
Okay.
Not little cute SEC rings. No.
Jeremy rocking the
that
table.
That don't mean nothing.
No, I
mean, Rick won that already.
The guy said that would have been 1-2 in 2012, 55-56, Amari Cooper. And Todd Gurley.
Oh, Mark Cooper. That boy can't catch nothing.
They're 56 and 55 and 56.
And think
so,
about
I mean,
that for a
that
second.
Just shows you.
I'll say real quick, but I read up on something. Y'all stole like 2 recruits from Bama. So it is working. The Kirby effect is working. Y'all stealing people from Alabama.
Just,
that's top recruits.
It's just funny because like these people are leaning. Like the way these fans are acting is like these guys are saviors. Like they're all like, they all going to be day one starters. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, these kids we just signed, we may not see them for 3 years. And people are like, I want Justin Fields out there next year. I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't Jake Fromm just win the SEC as a true freshman?
You still got Easton on
and then you still have Easton on the roster, who was the number one quarterback the year before last. So,
but there's more pressure on
– relax.
There's more pressure on these, like, highly talented freshman
quarterbacks. Relax. Aaron Rodgers.
Right?
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Okay,
everybody – I mean, you high school football and college football and the NFL are completely different games.
But
especially for the quarterback.
But for quarterbacks going from, you've seen, well, it's been more common recently. Not even recently, but like you've seen like freshman quarterbacks come in and actually do, make a pretty big impact coming in, like their first year in college.
Not highly touted guys. But like, okay, guys that run the spread. Like say, I'm trying to think of an
Ohio
example.
State.
Who was at Ohio State?
Yeah, them three black guys. Yeah, JT.
But they weren't freshmen.
Oh, one of them was freshman.
No, JT Barrett was a freshman, but I think he redshirted.
Oh,
so Manziel redshirted. I was gonna say Manziel
redshirted.
I was gonna say he came in and bought.
Okay, Jameis Winston redshirted. He redshirted.
They're all like 20-year-olds.
Baker Mayfield is the last good example of a guy who started his freshman year, but he ran the spread. He ran the spread in college and went to Texas Tech as a walk-on and started.
Yes, different.
That's different.
Different. Yeah.
That's not
different
him.
Guy, different guy.
And that's not him having a bunch of pressure to come in and be the savior.
Yes.
So I can't think of a guy who's been said, "Oh, that's the savior." To come in and actually save the team. Tebow was the last one.
So then what is y'all reaction? Okay, so then the two of y'all not hyper, but you're not hyper.
I mean, Tebow came in, he played a lot.
I mean, it's nice to get, you know, talent, but you expect that. And that's why I'm just like, it's like you expect that. You're an SEC program, Big 12, you know, you got a big coach, you're supposed to get that. But I just don't understand, it's like, why is it so much hype? Because it's just like, you know, February is already something, and and it's just like, you know, now these kids got to rush their decisions because they're scared. Because, you know, these people like Saban, they do gray shirts, and you know, now you got to rush your decision. And then
so a lot of these kids felt like if they didn't do it now, they might not even be.
I'm not sure about that, because I mean, I just seen like decisions just being made, and it's like big guys, and then usually you don't see that till like February, and now they're making that now. But yeah, I think that gray shirt, I mean, that possibly might be a thing, you know, they might be scared. But now I wonder, like, high school football is going to get bad now because these players probably not going to play in the playoffs anymore.
I mean, and it's not just the big guys. Like, the big-time five-star who everybody wants, it's not just them. I covered a signing a couple days ago, and the kid said, you know, Georgia Tech was pushing for them to sign early. And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, but how is that fair to the kid? You know, maybe he want to take a couple more visits and look. But you got these colleges telling him, I need you to sign now, because they're afraid they're going to lose you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a better offer may come along down the line. You may not come. Now, that's not fair. How is that fair? I'm not coming to school until next August, but I got to know where I'm going in January. Mm-hmm. But most kids don't decide until, like, July of something. Yeah. Like, I didn't decide what school I wanted to go to, and I wasn't playing football, but I didn't decide what school I wanted to go to the end, like May of my senior year. So
it takes a while.
You spend 4 years of your life somewhere. You gotta know.
They just finished playing their last high school game.
Right.
And then you want them to make it to the end.
Essentially, signing day is turning into the NFL draft. That's basically what it's turned into. All the hype, all the buildup around, you know, all this buildup around young kids that are just now making this decision in terms of where they want to, you know, where they want to go, with whom they're going to sign with, and they're built up as the saviors. And we, like Jeremy was saying, we may not see them for 3 years. It's being turned into the NFL draft, to where we just don't know exactly who, you know, how football. These kids are going to pan out. I mean, we sometimes forget that the best quarterback, possibly the best quarterback in the history of the NFL, Tom Brady, fifth, sixth round draft pick?
Yeah.
Out of Michigan.
He was only a 3-star recruit.
Okay, that was my question. Yeah, what was he in high school?
And then they got a 5-star in that put Tom Brady on the bench.
Drew Hutchinson.
He was a 5-star recruit. Came in and he was supposed to be the savior. Tom Brady was already on the roster. They took Tom Brady off the field to play him because of the pressure from the fan base.
Yeah, it happens. A-League, okay. We in here. This episode.
Well, I mean, y'all do know Tom Brady is a system quarterback.
Let's end on that note. Boom. Wow. Episode 61. Your boy NBA is the Twitter. You know, stop over. Seahawkshoop.com. Also, go to Bleacher Report. You know, just do those things. Put that on your list. I'm out. Peace. Boom. Oh, no. Keep got to go last.
This is David Norwood. Twitter is at Nindor with 90.
Oh, David, I heard you take a shot at me losing to Troy last week. I heard that. I forgot it. Yeah, he's lit. He was like, at least I didn't lose to Troy. I was like, all right. I had the artifice.
No. RashadMilligan.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @OfficialPrepSports.
Jeremy Johnson, Clark_Kent_75. Get a Superman on.
Somebody tell Siri that there are 3 Migos, not 2.
Oh, yeah.
Akeem Balaam, AKIEMBAIUM, Twitter, Gram Beyond the W. Check it out.
Yeah.